Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Where is he? Welcome to Rock Bible Church. We're a Christ-centered, biblically based, compelling, casual community. Amen?
Amen.
Compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship. Be in a community that serves the greater community. Amen is right. Let us start by honoring Memorial Day and those we have lost. For some of us, it's especially veterans. For some of us, it's especially family, loved ones, great friends. We acknowledge the loss and we thank the Lord for the time we did get. Amen. Speaking of memorials, we're going to have one on Saturday. This Saturday, 11 a.m., right here, Wayne, veteran, by the way, father-in-law, and we're gonna celebrate right in here. You're all invited. We'd love to have you here. And I know this is crazy, but come by the house after. Have a sandwich, okay? Now, if you think that might be you, I need to order sandwiches. So give me some hands. Come on. Who wants a sandwich? All right. It's free. Okay. Whatever. All right. I got an idea. All right. So Bryce put two hands up. So there we go. So come help us and the family celebrate him and thank the Lord. All right. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. And we'll have some extra family around and such. It should be a great time. So thank you for that. And then this morning, we're going to continue on in our series. In the book of, Proverbs chapter 3, it's kind of only two verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Amen? Amen. Now, we've done 2 weeks on this already, and we're kind of doing phrase by phrase rather than chapter by chapter. We thought we'd mix it up a little bit, mostly because this set of verses has really been spinning in me over the last 6 months plus. In fact, last year I spoke at a men's retreat for another church, and I spilled the beans to them. I said, my church doesn't know it, but our next series is going to be Trust in the Lord with all your heart and whatever. So been very excited about it. Today, I want us to look at lean not on your own understanding, okay? Now, that's kind of a long set of words, right? But that's not what it says on the board there. It says lean on his understanding. You know, when you say lean not on your, or do not lean on your own understanding. One, it's a long sentence, but it's a negative, right? Yeah, someone call it red language, all right, for those that are have drank the Kool-Aid, right? Sometimes Kool-Aid is very good, by the way. But to say it in the positive, if you were avoiding your own understanding, that would mean you'd need a replacement. You need an alternate understanding. And we know we're at church, we're Christian. In fact, somebody outed me this week. Hey, he's a pastor, right? Well, I'll tell that story another time. But we're Christians and we trust in the Lord, right? And I joke all the time, whether Heitzman's here or not, most of the answers to our questions are God or Jesus, right? And so we know which understanding we're headed towards, all right? Now, will we ever fully get there?
No.
Okay, but we know the goal. We know the standard?
Yes.
And so that's what we're doing. It is verse 5, but before we go any farther, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We said, and we will continue to say, and we will continue to search the meaning of glory to you in the highest. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would help us to see how to do that in our thinking. How do we give glory to you in our thinking? And so we thank you for this passage, for the many things that can be taken from it. I pray that you would bless and help us to apply those that are taken today. And so we ask that what is done in the next few minutes, what's said, what's heard, will bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross through the power of your Spirit. It's in his name that we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's something a little bit different. You know, I like to play games with you because church has to be fun. That's just the way it is for me. So I changed something this week. Our passage is different this week. Last week I went NASB on you, New American Standard Bible, because that's the one that I memorized almost all my stuff in for like 20-something years. This week, well, we'll see if you figure out what it is. We'll get there. Actually, let's have some fun. Katie, can you take us back to the first slide, the title slide? Anybody know what it is just from looking at that? Okay, no, never mind. You didn't get it. All right, let's back to verse 1. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. You'll see it in a few minutes, maybe 7 minutes. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Why would you need teaching and commandments? Because what are you missing? Direction. Direction comes from knowing. If you knew where to go, you wouldn't need directions, right? I mean, it's the plight of every wife whose husband thinks they know where they're going and won't look at the map, right? They think they know, but can we just stop and ask somebody, right? I've been fully cured of that, by the way. I credit my smartphone, my dumb phone, is that's how I get directions. Why? Because I'm lacking knowledge, information. I'm lacking wisdom. What are other ways that we would say that?
Discernment.
I'm lacking discernment. Great word. There's another one. We already read it. Starts with you, and it's something you stand. Yeah. Understanding. We lack understanding. But there's one reason that he would say this, you know, his teaching, his commandments, because he's God. That's the positive side. What's the negative side of it?
He's God.
We're deficient. God and not God, right? Which is a very hard concept for me to accept as a young man. Wait, I'm not the center of the universe? Wait, I'm not all the attention on me all the time? Other people are important too? David writes this. He says to my son, in some ways, some might say, well, this is David's teaching, David's commandments. Okay, I get that. But where did he get it? He got it from God, right? These are things. By the way, we just finished a whole series, two full books, 1 and 2 Samuel, on David. Did he learn some things?
Yes.
Did he learn them the hard way?
Yes,
yes, that's the only way some humans learn. That's what one of my executive pastors used to sell me on back in the day. So apparently there's information beyond us, outside of us, greater than us. That might be the best thing you could take from this morning, is set self aside and see what is the bigger picture. What can I gain from not just God, but other people he uses? Things that we read in the scripture, things that we sing, podcasts we listen to, things we pray, answers in our silence or solitude, or when we fast or tithe, serve, all these different disciplines, what comes out of those? It's a refining of us. Why? Because we're deficient. Why would the son need to be told something? Because he's got a long ways to go. I would ask for a show of hands who has a long ways to go, but you would all need to raise your hands and somebody might not be paying attention, forget, and then we would mock them, and it's a bad look, right? But realistically, if I asked, like, who has a long way to go, you all should say, I do, but not as far as you have to go, Scott. Okay? No, I mean, that's the way we need to look at it. And why would we do that? Verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you. I want us to accentuate the idea that God's thinking, his rationale, rather than just wisdom, leads to calm. Exhale. I think of peace. I think of feeling better. Better than when? Now. Anything better than my current condition is more peaceful. More better. Yeah. This, right? Peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Is information important to God? Apparently it is. It's part of the reason that he wrote such a big book to us. There's something about truth that matters to him. I think this kind of can solve one of the silly arguments in culture that truth is relative. Importance, value are relative. Well, what's important to me might not be important to you. What's important to you doesn't need to be important to me. What does God say to that? He says, who told you you could decide what was important? I want to make sure we understand today could feel like Bummer Sunday in a lot of ways if you're uncareful, right? If you play the fool, you can decide that this is Bummer Sunday. If you play the wise, this is actually great news because you're going to get some things taken off your job description. You're going to be relieved of some large rocks in your backpack. Relief. You're going to get a lifeline, more oxygen, and better definitions for yourself, I hope. Truth is a reality. And we're going to talk about reality at the end today for a minute. Truth is a reality. And it is never objective or personal or changing. It's only God's. And there's a small part of me that I'm slowly killing that dislikes that. I want to be in control of truth. I would love to be in control of truth. And yet, what a terrible place for you to live. Where Scott's in charge? By the way, it's reciprocal. I never want to live in your world. Amen? Okay, we're on the same page. Here we go. But do not let kindness, verse 3, and truth leave you. Well, how could they leave you? Because they were never yours. Things that can leave you, they were never innate. They were never your nature. There's things that you have to hold on to or get constantly. Number one, oxygen. You never produce oxygen. You need it. It has to come to you, right? Things that you can lose aren't really yours. It's a subtle way of saying that truth comes from him, right? And by the way, what does he pair with truth? Whoa. Last week, we made a big deal about how David emphasized heart and heart over mind. In fact, I made the point that I think the mind really should be a tool of the heart. I think we're starting to see that is kindness and truth. By the way, which one's listed first? The emotion. Or the positive behavior, right? Information second. I believe that no thing in Scripture is put out of order. Everything in Scripture is in order, priority order, right? I love that. It's like Jeremiah 9:24, let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. Understands is maybe intellectual, but then he says, but knows me, that I am the Lord God, dealing in steadfast love, first thing he lists. Justice and righteousness. He lists righteousness last. What's he list first? Love. That's how he deals in the earth. I think that's great. We pointed out last week as well, how much does he know? Yeah, there's this big fancy word, omniscience. Try to say it as little as possible. It means he knows everything. He knows all. And yet, what's his business? His business is heart, caring, love, grace, forgiveness. Wonderful. Bind them around your neck because they're not innate to you. You need to add them to you. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We want them on the outside and we want them on the inside so that you will find favor and good repute. You had to find it. We talked about this as well because what? It's never innate. You have to go find something that you do not have. Write them, find them, and you'll be of good repute in the sight of God and man. And then here's our couple verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Whose information are we to set aside? You know, I say all the time, you know, that makes no sense. That's a mystery to me. I wonder why they did that. These are all thinking statements. I'm starting to realize they mean nothing. They carry no weight when I say that. You know, when somebody makes no sense to me, what does that matter? Say nothing. It means nothing. It makes sense to them. All it means is I've yet to understand it. I have an opportunity to like engage with them more and figure out how they make sense or what they're doing or whatever. But the reality is, when I come up with my own idea, I have come up with my own idea. And unless I can justify it in Scripture or find it somewhere and find other people that agree that it's godly, I better be confident in only one thing. That is yet to be just my idea. Anybody ever been wrong? Don't raise your hand on this one either. Okay, keep hands down. No hands up on this one. Ever been wrong? When you knew you were right, right? Oh, it's a safe bet. It's a sure bet. It's a sure thing. Bet the house. I'm all in. Whoops, I'm wrong. God says avoid that. There's only one set of thinking that is true, that is real. I would love for you to start using in your inner definitions that true and real are synonymous. They're meant to go together. We're going to talk about that at the end. In all your ways, acknowledge him. We're going to talk about that next week in all your ways. And he will make your paths straight. We're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Whose eyes are you not to be wise in? Right. Is he reiterating what he said in verse 5? Do not lean on your own understanding. He says here in a different way, hey, your eyes have never been wise. Right? Now, my dad had a rhyme for this. Don't get wise, bubble eyes. Knock you down to peanut size, right? I won't finish it, but I always kind of wondered what that meant. I think he got me off to a really good start. And you think about it. Oh, by the way, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I should say this because it's up there. It says NASB 1995. They retranslated it in 20-something. And, well, I like the one that from 95 better. Let's just say it that way. Okay. I lost my thought, my train of thought. Don't be wise, bubble eyes. Don't knock it down to penis size. Right. He would say, like, look, you're a little boy. How much do little boys know? No, this is an exact word-for-word quote out of my dad's mouth. Scotty, how much do little boys know? I don't know. You just actually answered it in saying you don't know, right? And then he would say, who's the dad? Other times I would ask, and like, hey, what? And he would say, because I'm the dad. It made no sense. Was it right? Absolutely. When did I figure that out? All caps later, right? Much, much later. In fact, there's a few things I'm still questioning, and I think I'll find out that he was right. Amen? I had explained to me one time in the universe, how much is there to know? Let's call it this much, okay? If I was tall, if I was Brent, be more accurate and still insufficient, right? 6'10" wingspan. If that's everything to know, and if that's omniscience, how much of that do you know, Scott? Right? And this is where I started to feel really small. Keith just got it right. Keith, can you just hold up your hand as to how much of this I know? Just hold it in the scale. Put it in the scale. There you go. That's how much you know. Right? Yeah, there's probably more beyond my hands, right? In everything less than what you know, this little piece. Everything from between what you know and here. Are there some answers out there? Yeah. It absolutely puts into perspective when I lose perspective. When I start thinking, when I start calculating, when I start, I mean, let's be honest, manipulating. Because I'm disappointed with current reality or the answer that I was given or the way they acted or my relationship or the score I got. Man, we love to argue about that. I remember being in school and you get your test back and you'd miss a point or two or 10 points for blah, blah, blah. And then if you're smart, especially in the math class, a math teacher over here, you would go up to the teacher and say, can I get partial credit? She started to say that, by the way, before I said it, okay? Consummate professional, highly trained. What's the problem with that? Asking for partial credit. I want to stop asking for partial credit. Especially with God. Because getting partial credit masks that I was wrong. You were supposed to show your work, Scott. You failed to show your work. In fact, the page is very clean. Yeah, but I got the right answer. That's different than what was asked for. I'm telling you, some of the greatest theology comes out of math class. When the teacher asks for something, that's what they want. When you do it, you actually learn. When you go to get partial credit, rather than learning math, you're learning how to get fake credit. No, I don't ever want to be an attorney. But thank you for that. This has messed with my head so much, the things that we're talking about. We got four today, and we're going to have some fun with this. In fact, look at your outline. Get it out. It says this, right? Proverbs 3, 1 through. Has anybody figured out what's different this week yet? We've been verse 1 through 6 for 2 weeks. I just added verse 7, right? So that you would not be wise in your own eyes. It's the very next verse. After it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Therefore, let me say it again, don't be wise in your own eyes. I love that. I said earlier that we want to state things in the positive, and so instead of saying do not lean on your own understanding, we made it lean on his understanding. Look at your outline, the beginning of each fill-in. L-O-H-U, lean on his understanding. All of our fill-ins are going to go that way today. Here we go. What do we lean on in the first fill-in? Lean on the truth you learned from him. Lean on the truth that you learned from him. How do you learn truth from him? Some might come from scripture. Some might come from experience. Some might come from teaching from someone older, wiser. Some might come from praying. I've had a few times where no one had the answer, and I was wrong. I thought, my thinking, idea I came up with, no one has the answer. Why was I wrong? There's always an answer because he has all of the answers. In fact, he might, let's take might out of the sentence, he put me in the conundrum that I might struggle and maybe learn something or start talking to him. Might be that he takes us through difficulties that we might learn. That there's understanding out there we've yet to experience. And yet, we bank on past experience and then we try to shape truth from it. I kind of like that. It works fairly well sometimes. What's the problem with you banking on your past experience and shaping truth from it? What did I call you earlier? I started with D and Ryan. Yeah, we're deficient, okay? Let me solve this in seconds, okay? Who has way more experience to define truth from? And even worse, who orchestrated all those experiences? We just experience experiences, and we have limited experiences, but God has all the experiences, and he forced all of them. Why would I ever think truth comes from me? Why would I avoid learning from him? In fact, how about I read the Bible more? And I love, these are the people that I love, okay? There's just a few of them. They read the Bible all the time, and then when they're done, what do? They start over. Why? Because there's more. There's certain Sundays where I'll get up with a patch and I say, hey, I need to understand, we're only covering part of it today. And when I mean part of it, I mean we're going to cover this much of it, right? The little bit that is in my understanding that hopefully I took from him, because truth comes from him. Now, I've been geeking out on these verses for a little while, so I've been on safari in the Bible. I know last week I maybe have overdone it for some of you. It's like, I was flipping so many pages and I couldn't remember all the references. And it's okay. That's why we put them in the outline. What's our next one? Proverbs 3, 19 and 20 through 22. Which Proverbs chapter is this? Are we in that chapter? Oh, this is just a little bit later if you just kept reading. Keep reading, folks. It's one of the best tricks in life. More than just Bible study. I'm going to give you an example a little bit later. I kept reading and I found gold. God found gold. Oh my gosh. So this is David a little bit farther. He's assuming that you have soaked in what he said about trusting in the Lord and your understanding and your path being straightened by him making them that way and the whole thing. We get to verse 19. It says, the Lord by whose? By his own wisdom, he founded the earth. By his understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. My son, let not vanish from your sight keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. I had a person ask me in the very beginning of our interactions and relationship. We ended up working together and spending a lot of time together for several years. And they said to me, one of our very first interactions, what's the meaning of life? And this is a Christian person, and we're a Christian environment. They knew I was a pastor, and I thought, well, I'm sorry, that's a confusing question to me as Christians. What's the meaning of life? We're at church. We ask the question, and Heitzman's not here. God is the meaning of life. Now, how that plays out, very different for every single person. Amen? You get to have a diversified, unique experience with him. But he is the purpose. He is the meaning. He is the founder. He's the establisher. I think that's a new word today. He was the establisher. He's where knowledge comes from. He makes, if it drips, it's because of him. If it's broken, it's because of him. There's another word. We said omniscience. There's another word, omnipotent. When you have a drug, but you only take a little bit of it, you got some condition, and the doctor says, take this, and it looks like it's so small it couldn't do anything. And you say, doc, it's so small, like, what's this going to do? And they say, oh, don't worry about it. Even that much is very potent. Right? My dad used to say, oh, he's very impotent. Talking about God, right? It's powerful. We have combined with truth and wisdom and instruction and discernment ability. And it's the weirdest thing, because we like to bank on our own thoughts and our own abilities. And both are so insufficient. How do we lean on his understanding? I think one of the ways is we sing it. This morning we sang over and over again, you take me as I am, over and over again. Methinks there's not enough overs in that, right? Which is funny, because we were all condemning ourselves while we sang that. We need to be forgiven and taken in over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we're deficient. Our thinking is flawed. We lack information. We lack that big piece of experience. We got to figure out, how do I lean? We're going to get to it. Because it's going to say, in all your ways, acknowledge him. How do I lean on the truth that I learned from him? I keep asking him for truth. I keep putting myself in environments where he's doing something or has done something or seems to be absent, maybe. And I step in and say, okay, Lord, what you got for me? You put me in this ring. I'm about to get knocked out. But you got me here. What do you want? He says, well, represent me. Right? Find ways to remember him. Find ways to think about him. Find ways to insert him into whatever. I said a couple weeks back, I said, you know, I was kind of wondering if maybe I should start wearing a cross. Because I saw this guy and he had a cross on. I was like, that's pretty cool. And it's not just a gangster rapper thing anymore. Like, people are actually wearing crosses because they like Jesus, rather than it being cool, right? Doug decided to go out and get me a cross. Kind of fun. Thank you, sir. What's that going to do for me? It's going to start a lot of conversations. It's going to find me in where I'm going to have to lean on him more, trust him more. Amen? Find ways to do that. How do you lean on the Lord? What are things you do that work for you that connect you to him? Where you start to understand and know him, right? Jeremiah 9:24, for those of you who didn't catch it before, right? Number two, what's the first word?
On,
right, man, lean on his understanding, right? Before we fill in, what's going on there? I got three blanks. I mean, you can't, I mean, you got to admit how much fun I was having this week, right? On you, Y-O-U, on you is evil. Is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's fill in the blanks. What are Y-O-U in this sentence?
Your own understanding.
Your own understanding is evil. Wow, Scott, I didn't realize it was part of the dark side. I like Luke, not Darth. No. Evil is anything other than God. Even a smidge, even a glitch off from who he is and what he wants, what he's doing, what he's designed you for, is missing. It's called missing the mark. That is how they define sin. When you get into the word etymology of the word in the Greek and the Hebrew, and whatever, it's the idea of shooting something that you're aiming at and you miss, just even if it... Wrong. No partial credit. You missed the bullseye. That's it. I found this to be true more times than I'd like in my mirror. I look in the mirror and I go, oh. Ouch. I was telling Doc about this at men's Bible study on a 7 a.m. on a Wednesday, right in here. Yes, that was a cheap commercial. And right when I finished saying that, Doc said,
"You took my mirror.
You stole my mirror." What did he mean? He has the same mirror. We have to all start recognizing that when we look at ourselves, we're subjugate to God. If we're smart, we're in submission to God. And that means more than just, oh, I'm going to avoid porn. I'm going to start eating more healthy, or some of the New Year's resolutions that have already failed. Amen? Amen. And starting to engage him in everything. The way I'm thinking about this person, Lord, talk to me. The way I spent my Tuesday afternoon. Sorry. Just thought about how I treated Wayne for 5 years. You know what gets my attention? Like really gets my attention? When I start thinking about the stuff that I got to stand before the Lord and answer for. All of a sudden, my understanding and my thinking is out the window, down the road. And I think, ooh. Great line at the end of Schindler's List. I wish I could have saved more. Man, what a great mentality. Right? By the way, we have very few rules at this church. Okay? One is never run out of food. There's another one. You have to watch Schindler's List. Okay? It's just required movie viewing. Verse 7, it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. I think it's one of the easiest things. I name a politician. Any, ever. Any party or no party or independent party. I don't care. All of a sudden you get clarity. You start doing it for yourself, you'll start to recognize when people are being wise in their own eyes. And you'll start to recognize people that are leaning on the Lord. It's freeing. Number two. Three. This one I'm in. Whose understanding?
His
understanding. Perfect? Well, we're going from verses. So let's look at Proverbs 3, same chapter, and then we'll come back and fill the fill-ins, right? James, can you give us the 13 through 15? There we go. No, the extra passage. Here we go. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, both of those because he had yet to have them. For her profit, this wisdom or understanding is the her, is better than the profit of silver, her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire. You're going to want to remember that word. To understanding and wisdom. What's the first P? And how would you use comparable with an I in this sentence? His understanding is precious and add an N. Incomparable. Thank you, Christy. Teachers in the house. And what's F? If you have to go and look for it, you're not going to get this one. Has I made up a word? Go find it. It's findable. I had to make up a word so you get the point. Because when you think there's no answer out there, when you think that he has forsaken you, when you think you're on your own or it will never change or this is what you've been destined for, you need remember, his answers are findable. They're reachable. They're accessible. If you use any of those words, how about easy? Close by. The scripture implies that if you were blind and on the floor crawling and you were searching for God, you wouldn't even have to move a limb. Just in leaning, you'd bump into him because he's so close. We're findable when we pursue him. When we pursue him and we start to ask what he wants, how he thinks, what are the value of people? What's my priority list supposed to look like, God? All of a sudden, you start experiencing precious. And then you start to think, there's nothing like this. This is different. Why has the church survived? Well, because Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it, and he was going to sustain it. Yes. On the human side, why do people keep coming to church? One, because it works, and because it's different. We're going counterculture. You ever meet an athlete who's out of the norm and has character and is intelligent, treats people well, smiles, small ego. I'm sorry, what did you say? Steph Curry. Steph Curry. Oh, interesting that you should say that. Huh, it was kind of who I was thinking of. Knows how to treat his spouse, knows how to speak in public, knows what negative things to avoid. Understands and knows him. I don't know Steph Curry. And that's not the point. Point is, how do I do this? How do I experience more and more? Because I can have a better experience in life than Steph experiences on the court. Now you're speaking my language because I like sports and I want to win. I want a trophy and a title, right? What are you the best at, Scott? Walking into the pearly gates, Peter's going to ask me. I don't know. You tell me. I would love for his answer. Well, you understood and knew him. Kinda. Man, you were a basket case and we had to bail you out so many times, but you're at least headed the direction you're supposed to go, right? I don't want to hear anything from him about my parenting or what kind of spouse I was or if I was a good boss. I do want to hear a little bit about how I loved others. But I know before I can get there, I have to learn how to love him. That's what I'm banking on. Number four, understanding is Proverbs 3, verse 35. Are we in the same chapter? So when we read stuff, should we keep reading? Which verse in the chapter, guess, which verse in the chapter is this? The last one. Okay, good guess. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. You want it to go well? Do wise. Do his wise. And remember that, back to the villains, understand is it's inherited. Or it should be inheritable, right? If we're making up words, let's keep going, right? It's inherited. It's passed down to you. I love that. We're dealing with a lot of inheritance stuff right now. And then this word came up when I was studying, and I was like, oh, I love this word right now. What do I really want to inherit? Money? No. No. Title? No. Somebody's old jacket? Nope. I want to inherit a spot at the table, at his table. I love that. There was a verse that caught my attention. It's in Psalms 135, verse 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. I love the simplicity of the strongest doctrines. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. In heaven and on earth, in the seas and all depths. Mic drop. Boom. I think that's God saying, I will do what I want. Want in? Love that he lets us in, because he can do it without us. Never need us. And with all the knowledge and all the ability and ever present, what's he say he really wants? I've already created all this stuff. I have everything. What I want is you. I want to connect with you. I want us to be knowing one another. And I want you to figure this out in pursuing me. Right? Oh, good job, James. I didn't even give him that one. Just James on the fly. And how do we do that between our head and our heart? How do we manage between those? Because we're gonna come up with a lot of ideas, and people are gonna come up with a lot of ideas for us. In fact, you're gonna do a lot of things catering to how other people view you because you think your value is somehow tied to what people think or say about you, what they post or whether they like or click or not. That's never true. You are worth the death of a son because God ordained it and he created you perfectly the way he wanted you, unique to where there is not another. And you know what your own understanding will do to you? Your own understanding will tell you that you are guilty, that you're missing, that you're short, insufficient, deficient, undeserving. And you know, there's a piece of that that could be true. How many of us deserve to be parents? How many of us deserve to ever have a spouse? How many of us deserve to do a job because we'll do it perfectly? None. We deserve nothing. And there's a part of your subconscious that knows this, because you'll never be pretty enough. You'll never have enough hair. Don't. You'll never be like so-and-so. You'll never have enough. And your thinking will lead you there. And at the same time, boy, I wish they were as smart as me. I feel bad for them. They don't know how to run their relationships. Wouldn't be lucky for them if they worked for me. There's a flip side to our own understanding where we think we're better than we are. There's a, I'm worse than I really am. And there's a, I'm better than I actually am. Those are both dangerous, slippery slopes that lead to death. Takes life away from you. Because you're going to ruin relationships on both sides. If you're grumpy pants, that's the phrase we use at our house, grumpy pants. Who wants to hang out with you? If you're better than everybody else and you make sure people know it, who wants to hang out with you? No, you're going to be alone. And you know, when you can get your head and your heart to sink on who God is and lean on Him, pursue Him, take your stuff and set it aside, then you'll get this phrase. This one's going to mess with you a little bit, okay? When I'm at my best, my mind sings, and my heart knows why. Scott, that's backwards. No, that's brilliant. Because your mind is feeling, and your heart is understanding. Oh, isn't that supposed to be the way it is? Right? This is why you guys should all spend more time with Doc Tompkins. I stole it from him. He'll tell you he stole it from somewhere else. I don't care. I'm giving him credit. How do we get to a place where his understanding, his values, his priorities are the things that I find real action items to pursue? Next week, in all your ways. Amen. If you never asked the Lord into your life, if it's starting to click for the first time, if you realize you've been a Christian, but you need to go to the next level, whatever it is, first time or rededication, if that's you, let me know. Let's sit together. Let's talk. Let's enjoy the Lord together, especially as a church. That's why we exist. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your understanding, for your wisdom, direction that you give us, that you might have relationship with us in the weirdest and most glorious way. Lord, you've shown that we're more important than wisdom, because you do all these things to get close to us and have us approach you. And for those that want to do that for the first time, maybe your prayers is, Lord, I want to know and understand you from this day forward. I accept you. I'll acknowledge your son's death on the cross, his conquering of sin for me, that I might receive your grace and forgiveness today. Let me live with you through the power of your Spirit from this day forward. And then, Lord, for those who've been following you but are looking for new ways to lean on you, pray that you would inspire them this week. What new thing could they do to lean on your understanding this week? We thank you, Lord, for what we get to be as a church in you, through you. We trust that the offering that we're about to receive would help us do just that. We trust that no one feels obligated to give, but recognizes we do this as a family, your family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity. May his understanding be yours. Amen. Go with him.